To succeed in your career, you need to stay on track, right? You need a single-minded, laser-focused approach if you want to get ahead. Not necessarily, according to Christina Wallace, author of the new book, The Portfolio Life: How to Future-Proof Your Career, Avoid Burnout, and Build a Life Bigger Than Your Business Card. Christina is a serial entrepreneur and a senior lecturer at the Harvard Business School, and she joins us now to share some big ideas about how to build a career and a life that's ready for anything.
Hi, I'm Christina Wallace, author of The Portfolio Life: How to Future-Proof Your Career, Avoid Burnout, and Build a Life Bigger Than Your Business Card. I'm a human Venn diagram who's built a career at the intersection of business, technology, and the arts. That's how I've been introducing myself for the last decade or so. Why? Because on the surface, my resume makes basically no sense. I've been a theater director, a computer science educator, a management consultant, a fashion entrepreneur, and now I'm a senior lecturer at Harvard Business School. You see, I've always lived between multiple worlds, and the intersection of those experiences, skills, and networks is what I bring to the table. And I found that that strategy has given me both stability and flexibility in a world that is not likely to give you either. Some call it a portfolio career, but me, I call it a portfolio life. Here are 5 insights from my book on how and why you can build a portfolio life too. Insight number 1, there's no such thing as a right brain and a left brain. Whether you first stumbled on this idea via a BuzzFeed quiz or had a teacher or parent introduce it, most people believe that humans are either analytical, language-driven thinkers, left-brained, or creative, big-picture thinkers, right-brained. And at the same time, most people feel like this framework doesn't quite fit them. This theory is based on the lateralization of brain functions. That is, the brain contains 2 hemispheres, each performing specific roles. This left-right dichotomy is so well known that it's often used as a shorthand for categorizing people. Except, like many supposed facts of pop psychology, it's not true. In the 1960s, doctoral student Michael Gazzaniga worked with neurobiologist Roger W. Sperry on a Caltech study of patients with epilepsy, whose corpus callosum, a wide, thick nerve tract that connects the 2 hemispheres, was severed to prevent seizures from spreading across the brain. Without that bundle of nerve fibers connecting the 2 sides of the patient's brains, the scientists were able to devise a way to show images to only one side of the brain or the other. One patient who had a square shown to his left hemisphere said he could see a box. But when the image was shown only to his right hemisphere, even though he could still see the image and point to it, he was unable to name it. As a result, Gazzaniga theorized that both hemispheres are involved in processing an image, though only the left hemisphere could articulate what it was, since, as in this patient's case, without communication from the left side, the right side couldn't find the word for box. While the main result of Gazzaniga's research was to show how much the 2 sides needed to work together to carry out simple tasks, a 1973 New York Times Magazine article titled "We Are Left-Brained or Right-Brained" misinterpreted the results as, quote, 2 very different persons inhabiting our heads, end quote. Other publications picked up the story, and the myth of right-brained and left-brained people took hold. Neuroscientists have been trying to debunk this idea for more than 50 years, but the misleading framework persists. So listen closely. You can be no more left-brained than left-lunged or left-kidneyed. Don't worry that you don't fit into a box that doesn't actually exist. And instead, embrace all of the things that make you, you. Because really, we're all human Venn diagrams. Insight number 2, be your own BATNA. BATNA is a term from the legal world that stands for the best alternative to a negotiated agreement. In other words, it's a backup plan. Feel like once-in-a-lifetime disruptions seem to be happening every, 5 to 7 years? Wars, pandemics, bank collapses, recessions, world-altering climate disasters, world-altering technological advancements. Hey there, GPT-4. It's not in your head. Monumental changes are coming faster and with greater impact than ever before. That means the playbook that worked for other generations just doesn't apply anymore. How can you build a career, a life, in a state of constant change? You're going to need a backup plan, or several. Really, a portfolio of them. A portfolio life offers four things: identity, optionality, diversification, and flexibility. Together, these four attributes give you backup plans in spades. An identity beyond your job title means a layoff doesn't mean you lose who you are. Optionality to pivot to a different industry or function means you never have to feel like your back is against the wall in a professional space that is contracting or going through an existential crisis. Diversification means you can weather the constant disruptions that have become the norm. Technological, ecological, political, you name it. And flexibility to rebalance your investments, your life, when your needs and your goals change, means you don't have to figure everything out, everything you'll want or need, or pick the right path for your entire life. You just have to form a strategy that works for now, for this chapter or season of your life. Insight number three. Give it 85%. Have you ever been told to give 110%? Do you hate that idea as much as I do? It's pretty common in the startup world to be expected to work at your max capacity at all times. We do sprints and live tethered to our phones and somehow have normalized a level of work that basically ensures we all hit a point of burnout. And that ethos has seeped out of startups and finance and consulting and big law into every corner of our culture. This notion we should give our all and then some is in the water, but it doesn't feel sustainable. And that's because it's not. Looking for alternatives, I turned to my operations management colleagues at Harvard Business School to see if there was research on the optimal level of working, and stumbled across a surprising finding. The world's best-run manufacturing lines run at 85% capacity. These are facilities at the top of their game, who've worked out all of the kinks and perfected their systems. And they intentionally leave 15% of their time unscheduled. Why? Because planned downtime is cheaper than unplanned downtime. Planned downtime means time for routine maintenance. It means space for do-overs when, not if, you make mistakes. And it means there's room for the surges that may come from time to time. And those surges won't break you or, say, cause you to burn out. It means acknowledging reality and leaving space for life rather than planning for only the best-case scenarios. Now, I know we are humans and not manufacturing lines, but honestly, that should make the case even stronger for seeing 85% as your target maximum, not some hypothetical 110%. Insight number four, rest is a requirement, not a reward. There's a big caveat in my book that I'm not afraid to put out there. When it comes to planned downtime, do as I say, not as I do. I was raised with a work ethic that was formed by scarcity, religion, exceptionalism, and the quintessential American narrative of bootstraps. And as such, have never found a 5-minute window I couldn't be productive in. Working, working, and more working is how I mitigate disasters and manage my anxiety, as well as fuel all of my interests and passions. So one of the big insights from my research was the imperative to include rest in your portfolio, to see it as a requirement that you plan for, a key part of making your life sustainable, rather than a reward to be earned. Rest can and should come in small ways throughout your day and week and month as opportunities to recharge and recover. But it can also come in larger ways through intentional breaks, like sabbaticals. I came across research from my colleague DJ Dedenna of the Sabbatical Project. Sabbaticals may feel like a rich person solution to the modern problem of burnout and overwork, but they're actually a very old idea, like biblically old. DJ and his colleagues found, quote, much more than an extended vacation, sabbaticals provide a psychological safe space to figure out what it means to live a more authentic life, end quote. And perhaps surprisingly, they found that while many sabbatical takers did make drastic changes afterward, like quitting a job or deciding to have kids, the majority simply returned to a version of their previous lives with a newfound, hard-won perspective. Insight number 5, build a life bigger than your business card. Here's the thing, you are not your job. The term portfolio life was first coined in 1989 by Charles Handy in his book, The Age of Unreason. He bristled at the notion that your life's work should be one narrowly defined job, and instead argued it could be a collection of passions, interests, and hobbies. While his definition was still work-focused, I expand the definition of a portfolio life more broadly to include relationships, community, personal growth, and impact. Your time is your scarcest resource, and a portfolio life demands more active stewardship of it than a linear life does. It's not easy, and it's not particularly intuitive when you've been raised in a society that demands productivity above all else. But it is worth developing the systems and structures to protect and invest your time in the pursuit of joy. Because you are more than the economic value of your labor, and the imprint of your life is far bigger than your business card. The world is changing faster than ever before. In the midst of that change, it can feel daunting to aim for a life that is fulfilling, financially stable, and flexible enough to accommodate all of the dimensions of your human Venn diagram. It can also feel like a personal shortcoming when the playbook our parents and grandparents set out for us looks utterly impossible to follow. Yet, you are entitled to build a life filled with joy, growth, love, adventure, beauty, and rest. And honestly, you should demand nothing less. Because it's true, you do only live once. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Christina. That was Christina Wallace with 5 big ideas from The Portfolio Life, How to Future-Proof Your Career, Avoid Burnout, and Build a Life Bigger Than Your Business Card. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.